This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Mila, you are in the NFT game. You have a significant project with Stoner Cats. Let's go with question number one. When you are such a big superstar like you, not like us schlubs, when you are an iconic global superstar.
This is one. How do I
get? Let's pick that up, Mila. Just pick that up live.
It's I'm sure it's spam from Florida. It's not spam from Florida.
I swear to you.
Mila plays it humble, guys. You know who that was? That was Disney offering her $100 million contract for 3 films. This is who Mila is.
Man. Gary, Mila, I miss you. Yes.
I miss you too.
You were saying nice things about me. Continue.
I will. When you're a global icon.
Yes.
Right? And
yes,
one of the most diverse, like multi-dimensional talents.
I see her all the time.
Herm, I don't know if you've seen Black Swan or have listened to Family Guy or have seen Ted. Mila, in my opinion, Mila has one of the biggest ranges in all of Hollywood. Why are you laughing, Mila?
Are you upset that he brought up Ted?
No, you know what? I like
okay.
Ted.
Sorry, go back.
Ted is a smash hit.
No, I like Ted. I love Ted.
Okay, keep going, Gary. Go back.
The mom's thing. I've watched like all of like she's a. This is one of the most talented superstars in Hollywood. When you go into NFT land, where like characters like Kalish and I are hanging around,
yeah.
What does somebody from your perch have to think about entering this space? Because, for example. Mm-hmm. We are now in the mature state of the NFT space. You were an incredibly early mover for somebody that did have your level of platform. Obviously, a lot of other people with big platforms have now considered and have come in. Most have come in bullshit. You came in real. But what's interesting is because so many have come in bullshit, I see a lot of A-list celebrities crippled to launch an NFT project right now. That's most of the information. Whereas 9 months ago, it was like, Gary, tell me how to do this.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I'm scared to do this. I shouldn't do this, right? And I'm like, why? They're like, well, I don't want to do a rug pull. I'm like, well, then don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I don't know how much time you have. I don't have social media, right? So I want to backtrack all of this to say, it's not like I'm born and bred on Web 2. I don't do socials. It is not who I am. It's just not what I-
You were too famous when Web 2 popped off.
I think I was just, I don't know what happened. Honestly, this wasn't-
I know what happened. You were too famous when it popped off.
No, I don't think so. Because secretly I procure, you know what I mean? Like, I'm all up in it. I just don't do it under my name. So it's not like I'm like-
You're saying you're more nosy, but not a contributor.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm super nosy. Like that's how I-
And not a contributor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when all this happened with Stoner Cats, really what happened was we sold Stoner Cats. The money that we were given to make an episode, we physically couldn't. I was like, we're not just broke. We're gonna end up paying out of pocket. We couldn't do it.
This is classic Hollywood, right? Because you guys think everything costs a fortune to make. Whereas I would have thought I could make 93 episodes. It's not a bad thing. Animation is expensive, by the way.
Animation is really expensive. I think that people sometimes lose sight of the cost of animation a minute.
That's fair. To make it at a level that, like, for me, if I made like a bullshitty animation thing by like, you know, you're stuck because you know the standard of the day in and day out of your last 30 years. So that's a subconscious reality that makes it challenging.
Yes. And ours was all hand drawn by Pixar animators. So everything just took time. Everything was just way more. It's very specific. It's very special.
It's high quality, like the shopping that the mayor of Paris did. The mayor of Paris, by the way, is Kalish. There's a very famous meme photo of him having tons of bags the only time he went clothes shopping.
And yes, I still this think is like Hermes favorite. Of Paris. Yes, exactly. This is when you went to Paris and you were like, I need that Kelly bag. Stoner Cats is the Kelly bag of animation. You know what I mean?
Ooh. Yeah.
By the way, don't I went to that.
This is where I'm going to get my ass kicked for saying it. Yeah.
St. Bart's, I guess, is part of my territory as the mayor of France. I went there and it's technically part of the territory. I just want everybody to know that.
How was it? Was it lovely?
It was so nice. Okay, especially in February. I'm from Boston, so it's not like it's nice up here.
Oh, so winter. You love Ted. You loved Ted. Everything about Ted, you loved.
Oh yes. Yeah, 100%. 100%. My favorite scene is when they're throwing apples off the roof at the runners.
Wait, do you know my thing about living in Boston? So I was there for 3 months, I think it was, whatever the time was.
Sorry about that.
Who, me?
I hate Boston with all my heart.
Oh, okay, wait. So Boston is so violent. Y'all, yeah. I have never
seen... bad. Say more bad things.
No, you're I love violent. Boston. Hold on one second.
Unattractive, violent.
No, Gary.
Deluge, entitled. You know what Boston
I'm
fans?
I'm going to go to Boston and people are going to be like, Mila! You're going to go to Boston and be like, Gary. Well, no, I'm not doing this.
Because they're entitled. They all think they won championships.
You were saying...
They think they... Shut up,
I love Boston. I actually had the best time living in Boston, was my point. But I saw so many fights, just street fights. Like,
I do respect that about Boston. That's my favorite.
Yeah, the Irish bar fighting culture is strong in Boston.
I actually, what's insane is I loved Boston up until they won every championship and every under 30 year old.
Every championship. They didn't win every championship.
Really? Let me educate you, Mila Kunis. While you were being the greatest global superstar, the Bruins, Red Sox, Patriots, and Celtics all won a championship.
Not in 1 year.
Almost 1 year, by the way. Three.
They can hate LA for the same thing. LA's been crushing it.
No, the Kings suck. They got one slipped in there. Like, yes, LA's been hot, but at least LA, like, LA has a, LA, like, Boston had character for not winning. LA's a full of shit.
But that's the same for Chicago. You can say the same for the Bears and the Cubs that, oh, they have character for not winning. And everybody in Chicago be like, character, like all they want to do is win, and then all of a sudden the Cubs won and people are like, oh, that sucks, and you're like, what?
This is all based on sports envy. You are absolutely right.
Yes, that's because you and your little Jets. I'm that's sorry
right. That's right. You've got me pegged. By the way, I once took Mila to a Jets game with me, Mila, Ashton.
Oh god, I remember. This is a long time ago.
That was the best. That was early in your guys' relationship, right?
That was 10 years ago.
That's
easily 10 years ago.
The best part of Stoner Cats was because you didn't have social media, everyone just bashed Ashton. That was my favorite part by far.
You know, my first husband. To this day, everyone's like, so tell me about Stoner Cats. You know what? Here, I'll go on a rant for you.
Go ahead.
So I very much did Stoner Cats. Okay. Lisa and I did this. Ashton was like,
Lisa's amazing, by the way. You should tell the world about Lisa.
Lisa Sturbikov's my everything. She's like my Ray Donovan in life. And so she kind of just like whatever dumb idea I have, I'm like, Lisa, bless her heart. She's like, oh God. But so we dove into NFTs, built out our company, did the whole thing. Ashton was like, you do you. I'll help you. If you need to make a phone call, I'll tell you, I'll point you in the right direction. And of course I used his voice because he's free and lives in the house. So cut to Stoner Cats comes out. We'll be standing next to each other. I'm wearing a Stoner Cat sweater, okay? I'm wearing the merch. People walk straight to him and are like, so tell me about Stoner Cats. And he's like, no, I don't do anything. It's my wife. And they're like.
You know what that is? That's.
And that's what I get. I
hate that.
All this time in this Web3 NFT.
It's not just Web3. It's society. I mean, if anybody.
It is societal. But this one, I am wearing the stupid merch. Like, I literally have Stoner Cats.
I want the merch.
It's coming out. This was like, you know, we just did it for our own team. But anyways, but the truth is, Ashton keeps going, it's not me. But because I think his socials is what I ended up having.
Yeah, and by the way, listen, to Ashton's credit, and I love this dude so much, like he was such a juggernaut in Web2. I understand the subconscious bias. There's obviously male-female subconscious, but there's a lot of dynamics there.
Yeah.
But you are dramatically more talented than I am.
No, I'm not. But I'll tell you.
He is brilliant.
I have use of his Rolodex. And so there is a benefit to, you know, that. Like when I'm like, I need a CEO. What, you know, like
Herm, I see you going through notes. Kalish, what questions do you guys have for the incredible Mila Kunis?
I want to hear about the kind of origin story. Like, how'd you come up with the creative concept?
I didn't. It came to us. So we have a regular production company that produces content for film and television. And so we get pitch projects all the time. We had Stoner Cats as a normal, regular TV show that we took out with Jane Fonda at the time. And then we sold it. And then we couldn't make it. And that's when I pivoted everything into what is now considered Web3. But when I pivoted, it was before Web3. To me, was had a category of Web3 and more was like, I was like, how do I utilize the concept of NFTs to associate? Like, I was just trying to, there was no rules. There was no definition in this community. So I was like, well, can I do A plus B? And AK was like, yeah, okay. So, you know, then you get 1,000 lawyers to tell you every which way how you can and cannot do it. But the initial concept was just out of desperation.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how did you find bringing this concept to market relative to maybe like a more traditional?
Oh, that's a whole other series. Let me tell you that, man. So there's two things you have to remember about the NFT community, right? It's very small. And the crypto community at large is very small. So you're dealing, like, you talk about OpenSea and the people that own NFTs. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but it's under 500,000 individual accounts, right? So that's, and people have multiple accounts at that. So to be generous, let's say that there's 500,000 people consuming NFTs. That's it. So maybe like once Coinbase launches, once all these things happen, it'll become bigger and better and more people will join and all that. But right now it's a very small niche community. So doing press for it was really challenging because you had to, we were trying to like onboard newbies. That was my whole thing, was I was like, how do I bring in, like, I get the people that are like ride or die crypto, that have been with the NFT community. I was like, that's not, that I can't take them because they were so against everything commercial on face value. You know what I mean? Like ultimately they wanted it, but on face value, they're like, you don't know what you're doing. And I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, I'm gonna bring in newbies. And so it was explaining how to open up a wallet. Like, that's kind of where we started. Like, forget doing press for like, watch Stoner Cats. We were like, okay, go to MetaMask. Here's how you open up a wallet. You put in some, you know, ETH into it. Then you go to like connect your wallet. We did a whole idea of tutorials became more of a thing that we did. Cause we were, I think people were just like, what is NFTs? What is Web3? What's a token? How are you not going to steal my money? What's a smart contract? What's a roadmap? Like, there are these certain, like, you know, words that now are so in the vernacular that everybody says no big deal. But 9-10 months ago, it was like, you had to do a dictionary.
100%.
Yeah. So it was actually really fun, I will say. But we learned a lot. We learned.
What about the incredible voice talent that you've been able to acquire on this project? You know, I feel like we've had some breakout performances.
Oh yes, from the infamous raccoon.
I would say the raccoon has probably completely stolen the show.
You were so sweet for doing it, Gary. I ended up, this was also like, so Jane Fonda.
What do you mean sweet? I thought I was, that I'm expecting to win an award.
Sure.
What do I mean, Herm? I'm the voice behind the raccoon in the show. And I got to tell you, I'm going to win an Academy Award, I think. I've decided that I might be one of the great voice actors of our generation and have found a new place for myself.
Eli, what do you think about that?
Hollywood is buzzing. Hollywood is buzzing, Kalish.
Gary was genuinely great. The whole idea behind it, the way that it all landed, was you're supposed to have fun. And like, what great time. I can actually call Gary and have a friend come on. I don't have to go through a casting director. I don't have to go through a rigmarole. I can just like call people that I think would have fun being a part of this community. Because explaining this community was a shit show 12 months
ago. Herm, you know what I just took away from that? When Mila just delivered that sentence, my brain went, you got ripped off.
Gary, let's change the subject, guys. Let's change the subject. Let's move on before Gary catches on.
What about Mila the collector? Have you bought in? Have you, Kalish is a degenerate, so he can speak to this, but have you started to collect a little bit?
Collect. I mean, yeah, I have like maybe 12, 15. I mean, I'm not my partner Maria has like hundreds, thousands of it. I mean, so many. She's very much our, I think you know Maria. Yep. She's a collector. That's what I call a collector. Yeah. She's like her own gallery.
Yeah, it's an adventure. First, the onboarding thing really resonates. I bet between the four of us, we've probably onboarded, you know, over 100 people to crypto in the last 1 year.
That was the most disrespectful statement of all time. You know how many people I onboarded to MetaMask alone pre-web? I
mean, well, are you talking about through social reach or just like
I see, you're saying, you seem personally, yes. I would say the four of us have definitely put hundreds on personally with Herm putting none on, and the three of us putting on hundreds.
Yeah, I'm talking about like I bought you a ledger on Amazon, and then I set it up with you, and I helped you fund your money and stuff.
I think we're pretty much dominating that. I think Mila probably did, you know, a couple of handfuls, if that, maybe five. I think you guys, Herm's done zero. Herm's brought maybe his one buddy Baker, but other than he doesn't even know that many people.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's hard. And I think the mainstream accessibility to just buy is the hardest thing. I remember Gary sent me a link to CryptoPunks in February 2011. Or no, February
2011. I was like, whoa, Gary.
Yeah, 2021. And it took me a month just to get my stuff like set up and funded to buy it. Like, if I could put it on a credit card, I'm doing it, but you can't. Yeah, so it's like,
I mean, you can do on ramp now, but now you can. All this stuff is all going to change. I think it's all going to become so much easier with these.
Of course it is. It's early technology. To your point earlier, 500,000 being gracious, you know, there's almost 8 billion people on Earth. Like, we are in very early stages of this technology. And we're also in the collectible with a hint of utility stage. One of the reasons I bought Stoner Cats, besides my admiration for the global superstar, is real talk. You had real utility. Like, they're like, you, like, the biggest thing that's going to, everybody's going to have a game, everyone's going to have a show, everyone's going to have merch. Are you capable? Like, Lisa was as big of a factor for me as you were, because I'm like, this is a real production company, and God forbid, with actual relationships, with actual leverage in Hollywood, God forbid this gets off to a good start and gets mass distribution, you know, like, this is like a real opportunity. I still feel that way about Stoner. You know,
it just takes a minute.
Correct.
But yes, it takes time. I mean, we're doing gimmicks. We're coming out with gimmicks in a couple of weeks, which is our next animated series. And that one, you know, if you have a Stoner Cat token, you have early access to it. There's like that, you know, there's an aspect of it.
Actually, I don't know about this and I want to hear about it. If you have a Stoner Cat, since I do many, several, what happens with gimmicks?
Gonna be a free drop. So gimmicks is going to be free. Gimmicks, you're going to get the NFT is like a wrestling card, almost like a tradable card of different factions in the wrestling community. And and you can trade them, you can collect them. It's the same concept. And then there's a thing on it that's called dick punches.
Oh, excuse me? Gary's favorite.
Are you Mila,
let's clip that, Mila, please. Clip why, it.
Mila, you've said, what is going on? What's wrong with you, Mila?
All right, Mila, let's say that with a straight face. Mila, just one
you've
more
said
time.
Way crazier films than dick punches.
Because you know why? Wait, hold on, Gary. I'll tell you exactly why. You'd have said, now crypto lawyers doing all this stuff to make sure that everything is. And so we had to get crypto lawyers are very serious lawyers, very serious lawyers. And the amount of times we've had to get them to say, dick punches. And maybe, so anytime I see it, I think of my sweet little lawyer Stu being like, dick punches are okay. No, dick punches are clear. Dick punches are like the idea. And I was like, how's that Harvard education treating you now? Because all they're saying, dick punches? Yes, the dick punches are fine. Yeah, we can dick punch. That's not a problem.
I wrestled Herm at the Super Bowl weekend party. Herm, I actually feel like you felt the power and realized
of a dick punch?
Well, I didn't dick punch him yet, but I feel like I want to. And number two, my favorite part was I could see the fear in his eyes that he realized when I told him that we would fight and I would win four episodes ago. I think, Herm, you accepted that more during Super Bowl week.
Yeah, true, I mean, it's not a secret. You're deceptively athletic.
Thank you.
Facts. Can we talk about other, can we talk about,
I have two questions.
I do.
I have to. Well, I like the clip of just it throwing Gary off. We're gonna clip that and use it. How can we talk about the pressure? Like, you have this, you launch a project, people are spending real money against it. Like, understand, you know, Gary's POV on it with VFriends, but like, how are you feeling in terms of, holy shit, I have a community that spends their like hard-earned money on this, and the pressure you have to just maintain it.
I mean, I wouldn't, you know what, it's such a weird question because I don't want to say I don't feel the pressure, because it's not like, it's not about feeling the pressure or not. I love what I do and I don't plan on not doing what I do. And I love where I produce content. And so to me, it's more, I'm really grateful that I have an outlet to put my content in versus feeling pressure to appease them. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just
crush that answer.
Content. Huh?
Yeah, crush the answer. Got it. Okay.
But it's
the right answer.
But yeah, I love, like, I'm, you know, It's just the truth. Like, everybody in the entertainment industry just wants to create. But everybody's got you have to first sell, then do this. There's so many steps before a project gets to be made. I can circumvent all of that. We partnered up with Toonstar. Toonstar can turn around a show in a week. And so we have a weekly episodic show that we can now release where the, you know, our fans or whatever, the community can choose the end. So it's choose your own adventure at the end of every episode. It's really interactive, and nothing will make me happy than having a community that feels like they're a part of something. You know, like, we all want to be feel like we're a part of something. And I really, as cheesy it is, want to make our community feel like they're a part of something awesome and great and be supportive and be supported. I don't want us to feel like a community where it's like one against the other. Like, we're not CryptoPunks versus Bored Apes. That's not what I want to be.
It's insane to me that people don't realize the world is abundant. LVMH is a $1 trillion business, and Kith is moonwalking, and Yeezys are moonwalking, and Gucci is like it's insane that people think it's a verse thing. It's such a fascinating human trait.
Exactly. And so for our community, all I want to do is allow them to all feel like they're a part of a community without a verses.
There is a ton of
that. I gotta disagree with you, Gary, man. I think blinded by how
I'm the voice of the raccoon.
I know, but you're sweet and kind and awesome. And you're not
in clip that, Herm. Clip that in your
mouth. Unclipped.
Mm-hmm. Unclipped. You're erased from history. Never clipped.
Mila, I do think, to your point, I do think there was a hot, I mean, I felt it there, and I'm nowhere close to you. There's a level of cynicism when somebody comes from that place, but the overall community, there's a ton of it. The problem right now is, a year later, we are in Greed City, USA, and NFT land.
I know.
Scams out the ass.
Yes.
Projects are dog just trying to make money in 2 seconds and see ya.
And that's what I don't want to be. And I keep telling people.
You won't be. That goes back to how we started. You won't be.
I don't think so. But I also want to be really clear to people. I was like, do it because it's fun. Do it because you want to be a part of a community. Don't do it because there's like an earning mechanism to, like, don't do that. You will lose. You just will. You'll ultimately lose in any aspect if you're going in to make a buck. You will. I don't believe
you can only win that game if you have an incredible balance of selfish and selflessness. To your point, if you are only coming into something with selfish intent, make a buck the way you're saying it, you're 1,000% right.
Yeah.
I believe the nuance there is it's incredibly okay, hence why so many people are driven to it, to do things from a selfish success standpoint. And oh, by the way, money's not always it. You just very articulately explained the process of success for a deeply creative person, which is to make. Like, I'm wildly creative. It's why I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Be Friends for me is a singular at bat to try to build Disney. And that's like obnoxious. That's like an obnoxious, like, when I say it and I get DMs sometimes, like, literally DM, people are fascinating. You think you're Walt Disney? And I literally reply, because I'm a maniac, and I reply and say things like, no, I'm trying to be that. I'm going to enjoy the process of trying. And then I get a little nasty sometimes if I'm pissed. And I go, P.S., when your granddaughter is wearing a patient panda backpack in 52 years, you're required to send me the photo.
Good for you.
Like, that's the truth.
But good for you. But you didn't go into this with any intent other than let's just have fun.
I went into the intent of this is going to change the world. I am going to win selfish and selflessly. I mean it. I'm going to build a very big business, and I'm going to create characters that are going to get the children at 6 years old, accountable aunt. I met with a woman who was a right-hand partner to Jim Henson. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an incredible woman. We had a great meeting. Like, I'm having Hollywood-like meetings these days around creative. And she gave me one of the 5 best compliments of my life. She said, after I did my whole fucking 14 minutes Gary V life spiel, she said, I came into this meeting with no interest other than doing the right thing for the person that introduced us. And I felt like I owed it to take the meeting.
Okay.
She's like, you're a business. Like, she's a full on creative, right? She's like, I cannot believe what you just talked about. And she goes, the only time I've ever felt like this before in my life was talking with Jim Henson. And it made me proud and happy because it's the truth. Jim Henson was a massive entrepreneur, but do you know that Jim Henson created Fraggle Rock to stop war? Ironically, in this timing with what's going on in our Birthlands, right? Yeah. He literally created Fraggle. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Fraggle Rock's framework. Yeah, like I literally am now going to watch the original season
down
of Fraggle Rock.
Yep. Down in Fraggle Rock. I used to love Fraggle Rock.
But I believe, like V Friends for me, the reason Patient Panda and Empathy Elephant are so Buzz Lightyear and Woody for me is like, I believe if I can teach people through, I've tried to do it through Gary V, but I'm a very narrow vessel. A lot of people love me way more like this. With V Friends, I can change the world through those characters.
Okay. Gary, I love you. I hope that nothing makes me happier. I can't wait for my Gary V backpack shit swag. I'll be in your first animated movie.
Oh, your kids are, you, why do you think I gave you the voice for the raccoon? Your little kids are gonna be super famous and gonna only wear V Friends clothes from second to ninth grade.
Okay, they're in.